103rd Psalm tonight, please. I'm going to read the first five verses of the 103rd Psalm, if you'll stand with us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let us pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for your kindness and goodness. Lord, I believe in the very bottom of my heart that no matter what happens to your children, your people, you are good. We may not understand it. We may not have all the understanding of all things and the whys that you do things or allow things, but it's not because you're not good. You are good. We thank you for it. Tonight we want to just thank you for all the blessings, all the wonderful blessings you've bestowed upon us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for our preacher. You bless him, God, real good, him and his family during this time, and Lord, encourage their hearts and just give them safety and a time of rest. Now, Father, once again tonight, this preacher needs you. I need you tonight, Lord. I need your power, your wisdom. Can't do this on my own. I need you. And I ask you, please, to help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving time is a wonderful, wonderful time. I know all of you agree with that. It's a blessed time for family. It's a blessed time for a church. We just heard a wonderful Thanksgiving tonight of what God had done. And that could be multiplied throughout the congregation. We all probably would be able to stand and thank God for something special that God has done in our lives. He's good. Throughout the scripture, throughout the word of God, we are told to praise his name, to thank him. And you notice this psalm started off with, bless the Lord, O my soul. If you will follow through with that psalm and read that whole psalm, you'll find out that it ends the very same way. It ends with, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm number 4 starts off, bless the Lord, O my soul. You'll find that it ends the same way. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. And he says, praise ye the Lord. You notice in Psalm number 5, O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. We're instructed to thank the Lord. We're instructed in 106 to praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. I decided a long time ago, I've got a message that I preach, which I've called, I decided to disbelieve the Bible. And when a person decides to believe the Bible, it's amazing what happens. I made that decision basically right before I was saved. And when it came down to the fact that I was a sinner, God said I was a sinner, I had no problem because the Bible said I was. I'm not being smart or anything. I'm just saying you just believe what the Bible says. When he said there's a penalty for sin, I just believed the Bible. I just believed that was true. When he said that Jesus died for my sins, I just believed the Bible. I just believe what God says. And when the Bible says that God is good, I just believe the Bible. It's good. Now, it's not part-time or when we want to think he's good. No, I believe God is good at all times. Because the Bible says so. Amen. His word says so. If you'll just make a decision, I'm not preaching that message tonight, but if you make a decision to just believe the Bible, it'll help you. It'll help you along the way. You just read in the Bible something like God is good. Well, you say, yes, he's good. Why? Because the Bible says so. The word of God says so. So I have no doubt whatsoever that God is good. I have no doubt whatsoever also that God tells us to praise him and thank him. For all things,
to be thankful for all things. But you say, well, Brother Ross, there's some things I can't be thankful for, which you're supposed to. Give thanks in all things. You may not understand them. I've got something that happened to me years ago. I won't discuss all of that, but I'm saying I was questioning God. I was talking to God about this, and I couldn't understand it. Couldn't understand why this was going on, why this happened. And the scripture came to me, just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And I got to thinking about that, and God told me, it's not a matter, and I say told me, he didn't speak in a voice, but he impressed upon my heart that, you know, it's not that we won't try to understand, for we will. He didn't say that we should not try to understand. He said, just don't lean on it. You're leaning on a staff, you know, and if that staff is your own understanding, somebody's going to kick that staff out from underneath you. And you're done. You'll fall. But when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, you can't go wrong.
Amen.
See, you can't lean to our own understanding. I don't understand all things. You don't understand all things, but we know that God is good in all that he does. And God is proper. God does everything right, whether we understand him or not. Now, if you're trying to lean on your own understanding, it's going to get kicked out from underneath you. But you just trust in the Lord with all your heart. In the scripture, in this psalm, God told us at least five things that the psalmist said that we ought to be thankful for. I don't know if we'll get to all of them or not, but let me just go over them real quickly. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He gives us some things that we're to be thankful for, and the very first one was that we should be thankful for the fact that we're forgiven of our sin. I got to ponder on that this week and think about it, and I thought back on my life and all that's been since I've been a little boy that I can remember, and the silly things that I've done, the wrong things that I've done, and I suppose you could do that too if you took time to ponder your life. You find out that God, though, through Jesus Christ, the shed blood of the Son of God, God forgave us of all of those sins. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I rejoice in my heart for the fact that God was willing to forgive me. That's what the psalmist said. We should be thankful that he forgave us. It's a marvelous thing to think about that and know. And you know, sometimes old Satan or your own mind brings up those things and the things in the past and all this and begins to haunt you with them. But you can look and say, but God forgave. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Word of God says so. And so I'm very thankful. You find in Romans 8:1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Okay? No condemnation. I didn't say that sometimes because of sin there will not be a circumstances that arise. But God gives us no condemnation on our sin. He's forgiven us. Well, tonight that ought to, rejoice your heart. That God has forgiven our sins. That's what the psalmist is saying here. I'm going to turn over. You wish to, you can. But Luke, the 10th chapter, I want you to listen to what the Bible says here, in starting at verse number 17, chapter 10. It says, in the, he had sent out the 70. Let me share that with you. He sent out the 70 to witness. And he says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, that's a wonderful thing. I've given you power to do that. But listen to what he says next. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Every one of us tonight ought to be thanking God and rejoicing in the fact that our names are written in heaven because of Jesus. It's because of him. Amen. And that ought to be our rejoicing. He said, yeah, that's good. All these other things, you know, had power over serpents and you done all of this. But you just one thing you better rejoice in is that your name is written down in heaven. In other words, your sins are forgiven. That's a marvelous thing. That God has washed away our sins. I realize and understand that some people may look at their lives and count up more sins than other people. And some would say, well, I don't have a whole lot. But let me say to you and I, we are sinners. We're lost, hopelessly lost without Christ. And no matter what sins you can pick out, whether they're big or little or whatever they may be, you're a sinner. And God has forgiven you and cleansed you. Amen? You see, we sometimes want to do that. Well, I wasn't such a bad sinner. No, we was all sinners. Lost, hopelessly lost. You see, many people maybe manifested those sins more than other people, but God says we were all sinners, all sin comes short of the glory of God, and because of Christ, he's forgiven us. What a marvelous thing that is. J.P. Morgan, I don't know whether you remember him. Some of the younger folk will never know who J.P. Morgan is. But I remember back about J.P. Morgan. He was a very multimillionaire. Today they talk about multibillionaires. The Bill Gates are billionaires, not millionaires. But J.P. Morgan was a millionaire, and he had when he made out his will, he put a thank you in there, a very special thank you. It was not for his stocks and bonds. It was not for his steamships, for he had them. It was not for his banks. He simply put in his will, I am so thankful that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it kind of boils down to. That's what we've got to be thankful for. We have a lot of things to be thankful for, but my goodness, the salvation that God gives us through his Son, how thankful we ought to be because of that. David over in Psalms 51, if you're familiar with that psalm, and I'm sure you are, David was going over the fact that he was a sinner and bewailing the fact of all that had happened to him and the joy of his salvation was gone and all of these things, and he needed the hyssop or the blood to cleanse him and all of those things. But yet he came then to Psalms 32, and I believe Psalms 32 was written after Psalms 51. That's my belief. And he said there, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I want to tell you something, the blessed man to know that his sins is forgiven. It's a marvelous thing. That's what the psalmist said here. You ought to praise God, thank God, because your sins are forgiven. Amen? I mean, they're washed, folks. They're gone. And David said it's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing, he said, whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I use the illustration sometime. Remember, and you may have heard me do this. Some may have not. But back when I was a boy, there was actually nine of us children. So we would have been 11. But my older brother, Melvin, died when he was about 3 days old. But the rest of us lived on up a life. And when we circled around a table, we had a pretty good large table. And it always somebody seemed like somebody spilt something every meal. Seemed like it, you know. And I used to try to claim it never was me, but everybody knew that I was involved too. But anyway, we always spilt something, you know. And my mother and I can remember it especially. Some gravy got spilt on the table. We had gravy a lot in our house. I mean, anything to fill your belly. It was good. Anything. It was good, amen. And so gravy got spilled on the table. My mama got up and she got a cloth and she laid it over the gravy. And she covered it up so it wouldn't be messy during the meal. And you'd have to sit there and look at that messy gravy, you know. But as soon as the meal was over, she cleaned everything off and took the tablecloth out and put it and got it out in a wash. And she used to use the old washboards. Now I'm telling you, that's what she used, the old washboards, okay. Sometime later, she got one of those newfangled wash machines that had a motor on it. You know, and you'd start it. That's God's truth. You started it. And we boys, I'm getting off subject. We boys sometime would hook a wire to it in one of those metal chairs. As soon as our brother would sit down, we'd go, whoop, like that, you know. Oh, and I've been hit by that thing before, and it ain't fun. You know, but Mama would take that cloth and she'd wash it clean. See, that's what up until all those bulls and goats and all that was just covering it up. Jesus came along and washed it. Amen. He washed it. You see, Jesus washed our sins away. They're gone forever. Amen. That's a wonderful, marvelous thing. That's what David was saying. He said, "Boy, it's a wonderful thing to have your transgressions forgiven." Well, if you're saved today, sitting in this place, your sins has been forgiven through Christ. That's a blessing that we don't want to forget to tell God how thankful we are. That's marvelous. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. So the psalmist said here we ought to be thankful that God has forgiven our sins. I'm going to skip verse number 3, the end of verse number 3 for a moment. I'll come back to it. But in verse number 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, I realize when he talks about here redemption, he's also dealing with and probably dealing with primarily the destruction of our life in hell. He redeems us. He cleanses us. But he also is a protector of our life. He watches over us and takes care of us, you see. The Bible says in Psalms 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. The Bible even says in Hebrews that the angels, talking about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God puts a protective hand around us. God protects us and takes care of us. Now, there's not, I imagine, anybody that's lived a few years that cannot look back in times when God has preserved their life. Amen. I mean, when I was a little boy, we lived by the Pennsylvania Railroad track. I suppose maybe 100, maybe 120 feet from the railroad track was our house, the front of our house. And we boys, as I said, there was a bunch of us and two girls and six boys. And the one then that died, he was a boy also. And we wasn't always everything we should be. Now, I know that's a shock to you, but we wasn't everything we should be. And there was times when we went out there and Mama wasn't looking. Mama was busy. She was busy doing something for us. She was always busy. I don't remember Mama doing anything else but be busy. Always working in the house and sewing and cooking and washing and doing all those things. But we got out there and we used to sit on the railroad track with our feet out on the outside of the railroad track, and when a train would come, we'd wait to see who would be the last one to get off of it. Now young people, listen, don't do that. That's dumb. That's dumber than a box of rocks. Don't do that, but that's what we did. And so one day, here comes the train down through there, and I'm going to date myself because these were steam engines. Amen. I mean, them was a, you know, steam engine, and it just started slowing down. It stopped right in front of our house. The engineer got off and he came up and knocked on Mama's front door. Daddy was. He said, "Some of your boys are sitting out on that railroad track. They're going to get killed." I said, "I don't want it to happen anymore." And she said, "It won't." She was right. She was right. Daddy come home and set the record pretty straight that would never happen again. When Daddy said something around our house, I mean, it happened. I just guarantee you, it happened. Whatever he said, it happened. And then we used to go out there, and they'd be slowing down for Fillmore, Indiana. You know, that's a big place. And there was an elevator up there, and they had to slow down and leave some cars sometime on the sidetrack. And it would slow down right in front of our house, getting down pretty slow. And so we'd grab a hold of the boxcar and ride up to Fillmore. Now, don't do that. That's dumber than what I said before. But we actually would grab onto those boxcars and ride up to Fillmore. You know, it was about a mile, so we didn't want to walk. And so anyway, we've done things like that. But God preserved our life. I mean, honestly, he did. You look back, everyone could tell some of the dumb things they did. But I'm telling you, God is a preserver of life. I was in a car wreck over around Stuckey's over there. I still remember it very vividly a few years back. And this car pulled out, he was coming south, I was going north, we had the light, I was going on, I was going in decent speed, I'd slowed down a little bit for the light, he just turned right in front of me. There was a big truck parked over here getting ready to turn. He didn't see me, turned right in front of me. I hit him, bounced over and hit another lady and spun her car around, and it was strange, I told Don, it was the strangest thing. I said, there I was, and it was just like I was going for a ride. God put an airbag right into my chest, and a seatbelt was holding me there, and I just come to a stop. I mean, I never had an ache, never had a pain. I mean, it's marvelous. It don't always turn out that way, but I'm just simply saying, God was good. God's gracious, understand? He's just good to us over in on 48 over here in Wilford. Everybody knows where Wilford is, I'm sure. You know the road that goes north out of Wilford? We used to live out there. And right there where the Wilford Church was, why I was going, let's see, I'd be going east, and I was going to turn down our road to the left. And there was nothing coming. I had my turn signal on, and nothing coming from the east there. And so to this day, I know why, but I don't know why I didn't turn. I just kind of waited, and all at once I looked in my mirror, and here come this car from behind, swung out around me. He was going, I mean, at a high speed, swung out around me, and if I had a turn, he'd have slammed me right in the driver's door. I went home and I checked my turn light. I thought, well, maybe I didn't. My turn light wasn't working. It was. God sent an angel to just simply say, now, son, don't turn there now. I mean, he just protected. You understand? I'm not telling you spooky things. I'm just telling you God helps us and preserves us. And I think that every person in this room could stand up, probably most people could stand up and look back and say, God preserved my life. He overseen and he took care of me. Amen? And let me say to you what I believe. He'll take care of me until the day he says, come on home, son. That day will come. Amen? And when that day comes, he'll just take me on home. You see that last window back there? We was building this church. The window itself was not in that there, and it had a scaffolding all along there. And it was a long, back there, it wasn't here, but back there it was a long drop. And I came in, I was up here at the church, and I had something I wanted to do. I can't remember the details I wanted to do out there, and I just kind of got out on that scaffolding, and all at once the scaffolding started falling away from the church. Somebody had taken the braces off the scaffolding and just left it there. I don't know who, it don't matter. But I grabbed real quickly to the window and pulled me and the scaffolding back, and I got into the window. And then I got something and secured it. But I'm just saying to you, we could all look back at times, say God preserved our life. God took care of us. Amen? Okay? I'm just saying to you, Psalmist said we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful. We ought to thank his name, you see, for what he's done. I might also share with you, he says in verse number 4, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, God has been good to this preacher. He let me be born in America. I could have been born in Iraq. He let me be born in America, and I'm telling you, each one of us ought to be grateful and thankful that God gave us life here in this country rather than some other country. I am grateful and thankful today. Some of the young may not understand this, but just believe this preacher. I am grateful that I grew up in a household that was a poor household. No, I'm thankful for that. I'm not. You say, oh, Brother Ross, don't you wish you had? No. I look back and I'm very grateful that my mother and dad were not rich. I'm very grateful that I grew up in a poor situation where God allowed my parents to put some things in me that would have never got there any other way. I'm grateful for that. I thank God for that today. I thank God for a mom and dad who were hardworking. I mean, that's just what they did. They worked hard to support their family. And they cared about us and supplied the needs of our life. I know it was God that did it, but they used them to do it. And I want to thank God tonight for that. Amen? You are not helping your children by giving them everything. I'm not going to get on that subject, but you are not helping your children by giving them all of this stuff and all of this junk. I'm just telling you, you're not helping them. Okay? And then I'm very thankful for the family that God gave me with mom and dad. We had brothers and sisters, and even to this day, I've got just a few of them left, and we have a great time together. But I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. Grateful for them. Thankful that God gave them to me. I am very thankful that God gave me a wonderful wife to be my helpmeet. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. I can't imagine what it would be like, in all seriousness, if I hadn't had. I told her the other day, we was talking about, we get sometime talk about what we've been, our life's journey and some of the things, you know, and all that. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I couldn't have done it without you. I mean that. No, I'm serious. I couldn't have. And I mean that tonight. You understand what I'm saying? You see, I'm grateful not only for a wife, but for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchild. I'm grateful for what God has given me. You say, Brother Ross, are they all perfect and everything? No. But I'm grateful and thankful that they're doing their best to walk with God. You see, are they everything they should be? No. God's still working on them, and He's still working on their grandpa. Still working on me. I want to be better for God than I am. But I'm very grateful for the family that God has given me. I'm very grateful that God called me to preach back in 1970. I am thankful and grateful He did it. I do not understand it. I've said this before, but I mean it. I do not understand why He called me to preach. But I'm very thankful and grateful that He gave me that opportunity. I'm grateful for my church family that we've had down through the years. They've been such a blessing to this preacher and his wife. Just a blessing. We've been through a lot together. But thank God for a good church family. Thank God for you and all the friends that God has given us. I want to go back to verse number 3 for just a moment. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, folks, you and I both understand something. I think you do. I believe you do. God heals diseases. There comes a time in every man's life. Somebody told me here a while back, said, well, you know, God didn't take care of my brother. He took him on home and he had this terrible disease and God didn't heal him. Well, listen to me. Everybody is going to die. There's going to be a time. Now, I'm talking about outside the rapture. But there's going to be a time when God says it's time to go home. Now, isn't that correct? But over and over and over, we've seen it here in this church where God many times has reached down and touched the bodies of the believers and healed them. Over and over and over, we've seen it. We've seen His grace displayed here in this church and in other churches, of course. God's people. God heals them and takes care of them and helps them, you see. Now, I was thinking the other day about the Schindlers. Now, Brother Schindler, Brother and Sister Schindler, is our son David, his wife Jessica's parents. If some of you that's here and maybe don't know who they are. He's a preacher of the Word of God, has been for many, many years. Him and his wife has served together in churches and pastored, and his wife stood right alongside of him. Bonnie Schindler, very sick lady tonight with cancer. And I met Fred Schindler. Don and I met Fred Schindler when we went out to the East Coast in 1981. We was going out there, and a preacher told me, said, up in Havre de Grace, Havre de Grace, Maryland, there's a pastor's fellowship. Why don't you swing up through there, wasn't much out of our way, and go to the pastor's fellowship on this day and meet some of the preachers up in that area. So we did. That day, I met Fred Schindler. That was 25 years ago. And I seemed like Bonnie was there that day. I can't remember every detail. But all I know is that after that, we became good friends. Now, that was before David ever entered the picture. Okay? That happened after. All right? But we knew Fred Schindler now for 25 years and his wife, Bonnie. And so they've been in our home many, many, many times, eating at our table. Usually, we had a kind of a thing on Thanksgiving. They would come, Brother Fred would preach. And he'd always get on the phone and say, I'd say, Brother Fred, I want you to preach. Oh, now, Brother Ross, are you sure you want me? We'd go through this thing every time. Are you sure you want me? Oh, yes, Brother Fred, I want you to preach. Well, are you sure? Yes, I want you to preach. And we'd go through that same thing. And also want you to be there for Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, Brother Ross, are you sure? You know, we'd go through this same thing. And he'd come every year and preach and eat dinner with us. Been in our home multitudes and multitudes of times and sat and eat dinner, you know, with us and just enjoyed their friendship and got to know them pretty well. So when this happened to Bonnie, I want to share something with you. Don and I grieved. No, I don't, you know, I'm not grieving like Fred Schindler's grieving, because that's his wife. I'm not grieving like his children are grieving. That's their mother. But I want to tell you, there's a grief there because of a friend. It looks like she's going to escape this old world and go to heaven. And we're going to miss her. You understand? God doesn't always decide to heal. You understand? You see, friends are important. We've known them for, like I say, 25 years. They've become very important to our lives. Gertrude Benefield just passed on to heaven over here. You know Jim and Gertrude over there. They was our friends for years and years and years and years. We didn't spend a lot of time together, but we knew each other. We spent time together. Donna and Gertrude, I mean, they was a mess when they got together. They really were. I mean, we went on a trip out to Brother Gross's when his son Samuel died. And we went to the funeral. We rode together. And Brother Benefield and I was in the front seat, and they was in the back seat. We tried to most of the time act like we didn't know them. I mean, it was coming down the highway, and there was this here sign that said, Bender's Curve. And all the way, the rest of the way home, they said, bend it around that curve. Her and Gertrude. We heard that all the way home. But they were friends. She got in the hospital here a while back, and Donna always packs something in there to give people in the hospital, and she gave her hand lotion. And one day, and she was so thrilled, and she even got Jim to put some on her himself, and you know the whole thing. It's funny, but she was so tickled, and so we went back about 3 days before she died, and 3 or 4 days, and Donna said, I don't have anything, Bob, to take right now. She said, oh, wait a minute. So she went and got a little tube of lip balm. That don't seem like very important. She said, I'll give that to Gertrude. Went in there, and it was so funny. Gertrude said, oh, Donna, you can't believe this. I just lost my tube of lip balm. I can't find it nowhere. I think some nurse got it. I'm not sure what happened to it, but it's gone. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Gertrude went on an hour over that lip balm. A few days later, slipped off to heaven. There's the Martha Grosses, Brother Grosses, not Martha, his wife, Margaret. She slipped off to heaven, been friends for years and years. His sister Shirley, just when he was at the funeral of Gertrude on his way back, Shirley slipped off to heaven. Little Shirley never was married. I can't imitate her because she was only about 90 pounds soaking wet. I'm just a hair over that. But she'd puddled around. You'd go visit her, and she'd say, "Oh, you got to eat with us as soon as you step in the door. You got to eat with us now. You haven't eaten, have you? Now I'll go in and get things ready." And she just always wanted to take care of you. Shirley slipped off to heaven. My good friend Bob Kelly, preacher Bob Kelly, a few weeks back slipped off to heaven. He come here and preached right here, not in the church, in a tent, right where this church sits. Bob Kelly helped us much in getting this church going. Held our first revival. I think it was our first. I can't remember. I think anyway. Had a tent meeting up on the Hannah Field. Bob Kelly preached, and he slipped off the other day onto heaven. God said, "It's time to go." Amen. Now those, you know, friends are important. So I was, when I say I was having trouble, I wasn't doubting God. Nothing in me was doubting God. I just said, "Lord, you know, it seemed like Bonnie's having an awful hard time out there. She's throwing up all the time." That's she was. She's just throwing up all the time, hurting, pain. And I said, "Lord, I'm not trying to question your will, but it seems like, you know, Lord, maybe it'd be good if you relieved that a little bit. I know you're good. I know you're right. But, it, you know how you do? You say, you know, I'd just kind of like for you to do it a little different." I sat down one morning after we've had this talk with God. Amen. I wasn't doubting him, honestly. I just said, "Lord, she just needs some help." And I sat down, and on my devotions early, it was about 4 o'clock one morning. I got up early. I got a little black book about that big of devotions that was put out in 1884, as I remember. It's a little book, and it's very delicate because pages are falling out of it. But I use it, and I'm going to read you the one that morning I read. It says in Psalms 143, verse 10, it says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God." I stopped there, and I said, "God, that's wonderful. I should want to do your will." Why? Because you're my God.
Amen.
You're my God. That's enough. And it says, "Thy spirit is good. Lead me unto the land of uprightness." God don't lead in the land of unrighteousness. Some people think that they can sin and say that's God. No, God don't do that. God never leads in that direction. When we're sinning, it's not of God. It's not from Him. Amen. And then they had some little things here, and one of them was a poem by Lucy Larcom. "The battle of our life is won and heaven begun when we can say, Thy will be done. But Lord, until these restless hearts in Thy deep love are still, we pray Thee, teach us how to do thy will." Now there's two things here. One that George Eliot wrote. "You are seeking your own will, my daughter. You are seeking some good other than the law you are bound to obey. But how will you find good? It is not a thing of choice. It is a river that flows from the foot of the invisible throne and flows by the path of obedience. I say again, man cannot choose his duties. Oh, you may choose to forsake your duties and choose not to have the sorrow they bring." And sometimes the duties that God gives us bring sorrow. "But you will go forth, and what will you find, my daughter?" He's talking about outside of God's will. "You'll find sorrow without duty. Bitter herbs and no bread in them." But this is the thing that really got me. "However dark and profitless, however painful and weary existence may have become, However, any man like Elijah may be tempted to cast himself down beneath the juniper tree and say, it is enough, O Lord. You ever been there? It's enough. Life is not done. And our Christian character is not won so long as God has anything left for us to suffer or anything else for us to do. And I said, Lord, I don't understand why she's suffering, but I know you are allowing it. And I'm willing to accept the fact that you're allowing it. And God, a little bit later, opened the windows so that I could see why he was letting her suffer. Got a call. Jessica called Donna, I don't know how many times, and got encouragement from her and helped her because she cared for her mother for so many years. And she called and she said, oh, I want to tell you something that happened. She said, Mom got real bad. I mean, real bad. She was hurting and aching, and she was throwing up, and it was terrible. And she said, so hospice, which has been there, called for this special nurse. She was a nurse that came when they was really, really bad. It's the only time she came. It's the only time she went. So she came, and she spent, I think, 2 days there. She found out that Brother Schindler was a Baptist preacher. She began to ask him some questions. She said, you know, my brother says he got saved. I don't understand all that, but he said he got saved. We all had Catholic background. And she said, he has just been after me and after me and after me, and I don't understand all of this. So she began to ask some questions. She came back the next day, and when she was done with Bonnie, she wanted to ask him some more questions. Wasn't long, he had the Bible out and was giving her the scriptural answers and showing her the way of salvation. She bowed her head and asked Christ to save her. She got up and went in and told Bonnie, said, I just got saved. Amen. And so I say to myself, who am I to question why God would have her suffer? That woman would have never been there unless she had got really bad. He had something else for Bonnie to do. And it was to suffer for his name's sake. You understand what I'm saying? So I thanked the Lord and said, Lord, thank you for just opening the window a little bit and showing me. You didn't have to. You don't owe me anything. But you opened the window and showed me why it was necessary for Bonnie Schindler to suffer. Over a soul, an eternal soul. I'm just saying to you, God never, ever, ever does anything wrong.
Amen.
He is perfect. He is good. You can question him if you wish, but it'd be better if you didn't. God is good. So I think we ought to be thankful. I'm not going to take the time to go in to how God provides and gives those good things for our mouth, as the psalmist said he does. You'll take care of that tomorrow. You'll find out that God is good in giving us wonderful, bountiful, wonderful things. I can't even imagine. I sometimes look back and think about the times as I grew up, and I think about all the things that God has for us out there to eat and enjoy. I've picked wild raspberries and wild blackberries since I've been a little boy. Used to walk down that same railroad track about a mile and a half, and pick wild strawberries along the railroad track. There was a big patch of them down there. They was just little berries, about like that. Didn't make any difference. Mom would send us down there, and we'd pick them. And we'd come back, and we'd help fix them. And Mom would make these big old, what she used to call, or they called, you know, strawberry, what do you call them there? Shortcake, yeah. Only Mom made a pie crust. She'd make a pie crust, fill it with strawberries, put another pie crust on top of that, fill it with strawberries, put another pie crust on top of that, fill it with strawberries. That was her shortcake. Boy, it was good. Oh, it was good. And I'm saying that all come from wild things. We used to go out and pick green. I'm sorry, I'm rambling on, but we used to go out and pick greens around the barn lot there, just greens. We'd get them and mom would fix them. There's things everywhere that God has given us. I mean everywhere that God has provided for us. All we have to do is look for them. Most people don't want to look for them nowadays. They want everything prepared in a microwave. But let me tell you, it's there. God has been bountifully to his children and taken care of us and given us multitudes of things. We have a lot to be thankful for. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for just being bountifully to us. We're thankful for all you've done for us. Now, bless according to your riches and glory. Give help to those who are in special need tonight. Ask you please take care of Bonnie tonight. Help her and Fred. In Jesus' name.